For generations, the nation of Israel waited for the promise to be fulfilled. 700 years before his arrival, Isaiah the prophet declared a king was coming. We're delighted you've joined us for this festive edition of Insight for Living. What would Christmas be without colors to see or traditional carols to sing? And what would Christmas be without a grand concert? Just before we hear Chuck Swindoll's sermon, Unwrapping the Gift, we have the privilege of hearing the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra offer this live performance of The Promise. Fear not, O Israel, for there is peace still to come.
Thank you.
a special holiday edition of Insight for Living and the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra with a live performance of The Promise. And now today's message from Chuck Swindoll.
Being a lover of words, I spend a lot of time in the dictionary. In fact, it's the most well-worn book in my library. I've gone through a couple of them, pretty well worn them out, and the one I'm now using, well, the binding's getting a little bit weak, and I've got a number of things I've written in the margins, and a few pages are torn. I love the dictionary because it allows us to get into the nuts and bolts of communication. And it all begins with the words, and if you know what they mean, you can communicate even clearer. I counted this week how many dictionaries I have in my library, and I counted about six. And the one I use the most is the Webster's College, New College Dictionary. It sits between my computer screen and my trusty IBM Selectric 3 typewriter that's on my right. I also have a very large dictionary that I was given by a great friend. It's the great Oxford English Dictionary, two large volumes that are so large. A part of the package you get with this is a little drawer you pull out has a magnifying glass in it because the print is so tiny. Mine is just a two-volume set. They've now come up with enough English words to add a three-volume set, and it comes with a small wheelbarrow that you can push it around when you need to use it. This past week, I decided I would look into the dictionary and find the meaning of a word I've never looked up before. It may surprise you that I've never checked this word out. Gift. Gift. And I found a terrific definition of just six words. Something bestowed voluntarily and without compensation. Isn't that a great dictionary definition? Something bestowed voluntarily and without compensation. When you hand over something to someone you love, you do it voluntarily. You weren't obligated. You weren't forced. The great thing about Christmas time is you were able to give someone something and you have it in your mind that they would really enjoy it and you hand it over to them voluntarily. Now, the other part of the definition is it's without compensation. No one ever around the Christmas tree says, "Now, what do I owe you for that gift you've given me?" Or after a meal that you provided for someone in your home, no one ever stands at the door and says, "Thank you for this delicious meal. What do we owe you for this meal?" Not only is it a ridiculous question, it's insulting. Because a gift is, well, here we go, something bestowed voluntarily and without compensation. I had a perfect example of this past week. Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago. I was at one of the local malls, and I was going up the escalator. And while I was on my way up, coming down on the other side was a lady who had with her a small son. And I looked over and glanced in her direction. She looked at me and said, "Hi, Pastor Swindoll." And I said, "Oh, hi. You never know when you're going to be spotted. I'm always glad I'm not doing something wrong at the time," which is not always true. Anyway, I was just minding my own business, and I went up and I spoke to her, and she had a little boy with her, was kind of jerking on her dress, and I went up, got on the second floor, and was walking around this mall, and I realized someone was real close to me, and I turned around. Here was this lady, and she said, "I've never gotten up this close to you, and I've never had a chance to meet you. Hi, I'm so-and-so," and I said, "Hi, I'm Chuck, and I'm really glad to meet you." And she said, "I want to know what I can buy for you. I will buy you anything. I just want to give you a gift." I said, "No, really, I don't need." I sort of blushed. "I don't really need any." "Oh, I knew you would say that," she said. "Really, I'm serious. What can I get for you? And I remember there was a new SUV sitting down on the main floor on display, but I didn't have the heart to ask for that. Anyway, I had a little fun with her, and I said, honestly, her little boy, he's really anxious to get out of there. He's pulling on her purse, and he's jerking on her, and he's whining and twisting around. I said, I honestly don't need a thing. And she said, well, would you like a little 3-year-old boy? Wasn't that a great question? I laughed out loud, and she left, and I finished what I was doing and got to the car, still kind of chuckling, and I sat down behind the steering wheel, grateful I didn't have a little 3-year-old boy sitting next to me. And I thought in a moment, that is exactly what God did centuries ago. Would you like a little boy? Exactly what he said. Something bestowed voluntarily and without compensation. He's yours. He has been mine, but now I want to give him to you. I want to do that so badly that I'm going to release him from my presence, and I'm going to send him to you. He can be all yours. Freely. Without a dime, you have to pay for it. Now, I'm telling you, folks, when you stop and think about that, really, really contemplate that, as I've been doing for some time now, you realize what a remarkable thing that is. As a matter of fact, when you try to put that gift into words, you can't. I don't care how many dictionaries you own. I don't care what a wordsmith you may be. There isn't a word. There aren't words. As brilliant as the Apostle Paul was, and no doubt a brighter mind never was on this earth, spiritually speaking, aside from the Lord himself, than Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he has been for two chapters, this context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, so important. He's been writing about giving, their need to give to God's work, and he gives them one illustration after another. And each one must do just as he purposes in his heart, not under compulsion. Remember, it's voluntary. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word is hilarious, giver. And then Paul is thinking about that subject, and he comes up with the classic example. There is none better. But when he uses the example, he realizes, I don't have an adjective I can use to describe the gift. So would you believe in this 15th verse of 2 Corinthians 9, he coins the term. He uses a word that appears in no other verse, no other chapter, no other book in all the 27 books of the New Testament. You won't find it anywhere else. It only applies to the one God bestowed voluntarily on us without compensation. Thanks be to God, Paul writes. Thanks be to the Father for his, there's our word, indescribable gift. For his indescribable gift. There's immensity in the word. He's larger than life. You can never get your arms or your mental muscles around him. You will never, ever drain the subject to its ultimate. It's indescribable. There's transcendence in the word. He covers space and time and geography and language and races. He's indescribable, this gift that God has given. So while thinking on that word, I began to go back through the scriptures and do kind of a survey of some of the great events that were just really remarkable. But not one of them was indescribable. Creation. When you go all the way back to Genesis 1, you realize creation was phenomenal, but it wasn't indescribable. God put it all into words, and we read of it in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. It isn't indescribable. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What a story. And it's frightful, but it isn't indescribable. You move a little further in the scriptures and you come to the Exodus, where the Hebrews are delivered from Egyptian bondage. What a remarkable story, but it isn't indescribable. It's remarkable, to be sure, but not indescribable. And when all of those Hebrews are out under the leadership of Moses and they come to the Red Sea, remember the story? And the Red Sea parts and they walk across as if on dry land. Well, it's miraculous, but it isn't indescribable. You could even explain it to a child so that the child can understand. And while those same people are out in the wilderness, in the middle of the desert, they build this tabernacle, this temporary, portable place of worship. The building of the tabernacle is amazing, but it isn't indescribable. David's killing the giant. Well, that's impressive, but it's not indescribable. Solomon's building the temple, magnificent that it was. Well, it's incredible, but it isn't indescribable. Daniel's prophecies, oh, you read through a number of them and you realize some were fulfilled soon and others are yet to be fulfilled. It's mind-boggling, but those prophecies aren't indescribable. Saul is on his way to Damascus, and he has been taught by Gamaliel, and this man from Tarsus is working havoc in the church. And on the way to Damascus, the Lord reaches him and blinds him, drops him to his knees, and Saul of Tarsus is converted. It's astonishing. But it isn't indescribable. The book of Acts tells us of the spreading flame of the gospel. I love F.F. Bruce's book on Acts. He calls it simply The Spreading Flame. It's the story of how Christianity swept its way across Jerusalem, Judea, into Samaria, and to the remotest part of the world. It's magnificent, but it isn't indescribable. Only the gift of God is indescribable. You can't put it into words. It always brings a smile to my face when I think of that. Even though God says it's indescribable, we preachers spend 30, 40 minutes trying to describe it to everybody else. And when we're all through, what a pitiful job we feel we have done, trying to help you understand more deeply and profoundly the gift. So I check the words of others. Kenneth Wiest, in his expanded translation of the New Testament, refers to this as his ineffable gift. The New English Bible calls it his gift beyond words. The Living Bible, his gift too wonderful for words. The Amplified Bible, precious beyond telling. A.T. Robertson's Word Pictures in the New Testament surely he would have the word for it. He writes, it's a wonder beyond description. Alfred Plummer, the well-known British commentator, brilliant writer on the Corinthian letters, when he gets to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, incapable of expression by speech. Eugene Peterson, no language can praise it enough. That's the gift. To think that some on this same Christmas day all around this country will be preaching about giving presents to each other when we have the gift of all gifts that has been voluntarily bestowed and without compensation.
A gift too wonderful for words. And yet we attempt to express our complete amazement and gratitude for the birth of God's Son. Unwrapping the Gift, that's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll. You're listening to a special holiday edition of Insight for Living. For related resources, go online to insightworld.org. Just before we hear a final comment from Chuck, we'll remind you about the importance of linking arms with this daily Bible teaching ministry. We teach the Bible, and when you donate, you play a vital role in our ability to continue doing that. You become a contributor to the distribution of the same kind of Bible teaching you heard on the program today. Every December, we count on receiving at least 25% of our annual budget. Well, because 2012 has been an incredibly challenging year for us financially, that percentage is even higher this year. Your special Christmas gift to Insight for Living will go toward making an impact on millions of listeners around the world. If you're listening in the United States, call us at 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'll repeat our contact information in just a moment. I'll also explain how you can receive Chuck's book, Living the Proverbs. Well, given the opportunity to do so, what would you choose to talk about in a personal conversation with Chuck?
If you and I could have a cup of coffee today, and if we had the time to look one another in the eyes to get a little better acquainted, here's the question I would love to ask you. When was your grace awakening? Looking back, can you point to a moment or maybe a season in your life when you encountered and finally fully embraced the marvelous gift of grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness that was bestowed by our generous and loving Heavenly Father? Can you go back to a point when that happened? That question stirs up all kinds of emotions, some of them nostalgic, all of them filled with gratitude. Because, yes, you and I both can point to a moment when the veil was lifted and we began to get a clear glimpse of God's amazing grace. I'm pleased to tell you today that we'll address this theme in the new year, 2013, when we present our series called Grace Awakening. Few subjects reflect the essence of Insight for Living, because few doctrinal truths embody the essence of the gospel, like God's grace. We have every intention of celebrating these subjects every day of the new year, but in order to do so, it's imperative that we have financial partners. And that's where you come into the picture. This ministry is sustained entirely by the individual donations from friends like you, who are grateful for God's grace and want to share that message with others. Hey, it's December, so now's the time for you to give. As you calculate your end-of-the-year offerings to the church you attend and the charities you support, may I urge you to include Insight for Living. You had a grace awakening in your life. Let's make sure that countless others have the same experience.
Here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll's request. If you're listening in the United States, you can call right now 1-800-772-8888. 8888, or online go to insight.org. And when you give a donation today, we'll say thank you by providing a hardbound book called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. This book, 300 pages in length, will make a welcome companion in the new year as you grow deeper in your walk with God. If you're listening in the United States, call us at 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, hoping you have a wonderful weekend celebrating with family and friends, and inviting you to hear Chuck Swindoll Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Unwrapping the Gift, was copyrighted in 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.